Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We are continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. Judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. Let's turn over to our foundation text, Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and let's look at the 12th verse. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and let's look at the 12th verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to keep a tab on the intentions of our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. We need the Holy Spirit. I know I do.
Amen.
I need Him judging and sifting through and analyzing our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Look at Hebrews 4 and the 12th, chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and piercing or penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Thank God for that promise in His word, because I know I can get fooled from my thoughts and misjudge them, have the wrong motive and think I have the right motive. Thank God that He reveals our true nature. Just review, we said, for lack of a better term, that we are made up of quote unquote two selves, our real self, if you will, and our false self. The false self is a self that folks see outwardly that is not a true representation of our inner man, the real us. And when our false self is on display, then it is a hypocritical person that the world is seeing, because that's not who we really are. And so we've gone over that several times. We're still talking about our true self, the real self. Just while we're in review, Apostle Paul said in his letter to the church at Rome, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so that transformation is the changing of our outward expression to match that which is inwardly. We would call it a transfiguration, is what Jesus was done. That was what happened to Jesus, if you will. And so we're to be transformed. And that's the purpose of the work of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. That's a great, mighty promise that we're being transformed into the same image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's good news. We talked about the true self in Scripture, as we talked about Samuel, as he looked at the sons of Jesse and he saw Eliab and he looked at his height and how handsome he was and said, surely this is this is the king of the Lord, or this is the one that the Lord surely has chosen. But the Lord told Samuel, I rejected him because of his heart. The real self, that real person, was not what the Lord wanted. And so we want folks to, when they see us externally, we want that to match who we really are internally. Because remember, who we are internally is who we really are.
Amen.
Now we just hope that the outer matches it, because it doesn't change who we are internally. Did you catch that? No matter how we are externally, it does not change and influence who we are internally. Because who we are internally is who we are. Yeah. And that's the part that God sees all the time. Amen? Man does not necessarily see that. Psalm 24, the question was asked, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Psalm 51, verse 6, Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. I think we haven't read this one yet, have we? No. Yeah, so let's go to Psalm 51, verse 6. We're still talking about the real person, our real selves in Scripture. We're seeing it in Scripture. We saw that God sees the heart, or another way of saying that, He sees our real self. When He said, who can dwell, ascend to the hill of the Lord? In other words, who can get into the presence of God and remain in the presence of God? One who has a pure heart, whose real self is doing that which the Lord God has commanded us and has not sworn deceitfully. So Psalm 51, verse 6. Behold, you desire truth where? In the innermost being. Where does He desire truth? In our real self. You see that? Not in the external, but in our innermost being. And in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Wow, it's our real self that desires truth, where God desires truth to show up and put itself on display, is in our real self. And it is in our real self, the hidden part, right? Because that's the part that's hidden from the world, hidden as meaning that the world doesn't see that. Because the world sees our body, but not the real self in the body, or the spirit being that's in our body, which is us. So it's the hidden part. But in that hidden part, He said, you will make me know wisdom. Where will you know wisdom? On the inner man. I don't know about you, but I want to know the wisdom of God.
Amen.
And a key to that is where God desires truth. So as we're looking inwardly by the Holy Ghost and the living Word of God, which is what this is teaching is on, we're seeing our real self. Because the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, correctly judges our thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. It's not left up to us. That's good news. So since the Word of God is correctly sifting through, analyzing, judging our thoughts and the motives and intentions and conceptions of our heart, then guess what's going to dwell in our inner man? The truth that God is looking for. Because you're dealing with yourself according to the Word of God, then truth is going, can't do nothing but reside inside of you. Does that make sense?
Amen.
That's good news. And if you're allowing the Word of God to sift through and analyze and judge your thoughts and intentions of your heart, guess what? You're going to be wise. Very wise. Amen. Instead of being fooled and thinking you're wise. Mm-hmm. I think it was the Apostle Paul who spoke, if any among you seemeth to be wise, let him become a fool, recognize I don't know nothing, that he may be wise. We must first realize, I can't judge myself. I can't judge my motives. I can't judge my intentions. I cannot, apart from the Spirit of God. That's becoming a fool. That's recognize I'm weak in that area. I'm feeble. I'm inadequate. I'm limited in that. And in so doing, you will become wise, because then you'll be wise with God's wisdom. In your inner man. Verse 7, purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Is he talking about your body going and taking a bath?
No.
He's talking about that inner being, that innermost being. Look at Job chapter 38. Still talking about the real self in Scripture. It's not something we just made up. The real self in Scripture, Job chapter 38, verse 36. Who has put wisdom where? In the innermost being, or given understanding to the mind? That's what God does. Thank God that He does that. Because Satan at the same time is trying to put wisdom in our innermost being and give us understanding, but that's devilish, earthly, sensual, fleshly emotional wisdom that the devil is trying to give us. But God is saying that he is the one who puts wisdom in our innermost being and gives understanding to the mind. And notice it's the innermost being who the Lord God communicates with. That's what I want you to say. I know you heard this before, but it's the our innermost being. He doesn't talk to our bodies. He speaks to our spirits, the real us. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So he puts wisdom in our innermost being. He gives understanding to our mind. He looking for truth in our, he desires truth in our innermost being. And in our innermost being, the hidden part, he'll make us to know wisdom. Look at Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5. Verse 9. Psalm chapter 5, verse 9. There's nothing reliable in what they say. Why? Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Why do they act like that? Because their real self is destruction itself. Now here's the real self on the negative part. But he's saying here, the reason they just talk this way and act this way, because that's their real self. Notice it says their inward part is destruction itself. What's their inward part? The innermost being, their inner man, the real them. That's why you can only fool folks for so long. If the way one is living, whether it's a sinner trying to look good, or a Christian who's looking bad, you're going to, eventually, the real self is going to be exposed. So the sinner who's trying to look good, eventually that sin nature that's on the inside, their real self is going to come out. And for the Christian, they're doing wrong, but you know what? They're being eaten up on the inside. Because the Holy Spirit is saying, you know you're out of order. People of God, our external bodies are not us. Our external bodies are not us. The real us is spirit. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 26. Proverbs 23, verse 26. Thank you, Father. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, verse 26. Love this verse, verse 26, Proverbs 23. He said, give me your heart, my son. Why? What is that? Give me you. Give me the real you. Give me you. And let your eyes delight in my ways. Give me your heart, my son. That's a powerful request from God Almighty, our Father. As he talks to his children, he wants them. Amen. Well, you can do a preaching with that for husbands or to wives. You know, I've seen many times in stories and movies and all kind of, you know, where the husband is so shocked when the wife wants a divorce. And then when the husband, who is so shocked that the wife wants a divorce, what does he do? He begins to give a grocery list of all the things he's given his wife. I bought you a house, I bought you a car, I bought you a mink and a sable, I bought you a car and this and the other. He said, yeah, but I didn't want nothing, I just want it. You. Just want you. That desire is put in them from God.
to desire the person. In relationships, any relationship, you to give yourself to that person is what makes that relationship. And it's the giving of each other's real selves to one another is what causes that relationship to flourish. He said, give me your heart. That's what he desires. Just like Saul, you know, Saul wanted to do, get all the horses and cows and the best, you know, the sheep and all that. And he said, you know, I want your obedience. I want you. I don't want all that. You're going to give me all this sacrifice. Oh, I saved the best animals for you, Lord. And, you know, I know you told me to kill everybody and everything, but I figured I'd say these, you know. I'm going to sacrifice them to you. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is what will be done from your heart, the real you. That sacrifice of the killing of those animals to sacrifice God in the face of disobedience wasn't going to work. Give me your heart. And you want to ask yourself through the Holy Spirit, am I giving God me? And by that I mean, am I giving him all that I am? You've heard me say it this way. Have you opened up all the rooms in your house, known as your life? Yeah. Every door. And have you given him access to all of it? Or are there still some dark places, the deep, dark basement closet that you haven't let him in yet? Give me your heart. That's what he desires. Just look inward. Let the Holy Spirit look inward to the real you. The real you is who communicates with God. The real you is who the Holy Spirit communicates. I don't know, Father, if we fully have that yet. We don't hear them out here with these quote-unquote auditory receptors. It's spirit to spirit. It's Romans 8, for the Holy Spirit witnesses to our spirit. Yes. We're children of God. And that's the real us, not our bodies. When it says God sees not as man sees, for man sees the outside, but God sees the heart. You can take your heart again and put down the real person. Amen. That's why I weep for these women today who are just going with externals, how a person looks and what the man has. Status, all that external, but they have no idea. You have no idea what is in the heart of this person. When you watch those documentaries like 48 Hours or Dateline, you know, where it always starts out where the man and the female, the man and the woman are just so in love. Oh, he's the nicest guy, and I've known him for this, and he was just wonderful, and this and that and the other. But they would, and then of course you know where it's going to descend into. Next thing you know, 5 years into the marriage, you know, he has killed her. But they talk about, oh, you know, on a spring day in Rockford, Illinois, you know, Susie So met Josie Joe. And it started out as a wonderful romance. It's a scary thing to rely on just externals when you're meeting someone or dealing with someone or any of that. Let the Lord lead. Because he sees the heart.
Amen.
He sees it. And thank God that he does. Because if, for example, if a single person is thinking about a particular individual, believe me, God can communicate to that, to his child, that person, that I've rejected him. Leave him alone. Thank God somebody can see the heart. We can't. Thank God he does. Give me your heart, my son and my daughter, and let your eyes delight in my ways. If you give me you, then guess what?
then you're going to delight in my ways. Mm-hmm. Doing things my way. Doing things according to my purpose and my plan and things that bring me glory. You'll delight in that. But that doesn't happen unless you give him all of you. Or work toward that. Look at the New Testament. The real self in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 21. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Father God, help us to give us your heart. Give you, rather, our heart in Jesus' name. And help us to let our eyes delight in your ways. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. Now, committing murder is an external act, right? Done with the body against another individual. It's the unlawful, unjust, illegal taking of a life. That's what murder is. And of course you know this, but when it said thou shalt not kill in the Old Testament, the literal Hebrew is thou shalt do no murder. Meaning you're not to illegally and unjustly take the life of another individual. It doesn't mean thou shalt not kill at all. Well, he's saying here, whoever commits murder or whoever illegally, unlawfully, and unjustly takes the life of another shall be liable to the court. Now, look at the next word in verse 22. But I say unto you, here Jesus is exercising his majestic sovereign authority as being God in the flesh. The ancients told you, whoever commit murder will be liable to the courts. But I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Now wait a minute. At the root of murder, especially illegal, unjust murder, is what? Anger. I'm not talking about manslaughter where you accidentally kill somebody. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, so excuse that part. Again, all of that is, you know, we're not talking about I forgot what it's called. Where, like, if your dog got loose and ran away and then killed somebody, you know, that sort of, I forgot what that's called. You know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about murder in the first or second degree, where you think about it, it's either premeditated or you premeditate and then immediately act on it. He's talking about that kind of murder. What's at the root of that? It's anger. Where is anger in your real self, in your inner man? Jesus went right to the heart, or right to the real self. Now, the external part of us, which is our bodies, manifested the act that first started in our real self, which was anger. So he says, I'm telling you, whoever of you who is angry, which is the root of murder, shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, I think, King James has thou fool, shall be guilty before the court. And whoever shall say, I think it's raka, I don't know if that, but anyway, that means good for nothing shall be guilty. And whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell, because anger, insults, all come from the heart. You see what Jesus went right to? He said, you don't have to commit the murder before God. If you're angry enough to do it, he said, you shall be guilty before the court. And what Jesus was teaching the Pharisees is that you are satisfied in believing that the external act is all we need to deal with. But I say unto you, we got to go inward. Look at verse 27. There's more proof of that. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Okay, that's the external outward act. But there's a contrasting conjunction again. I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery. Where? With her. In his heart. So in the inner man, the real you, the real self, in God's eye, you've already committed adultery. That's the real self, the real us. Look at Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 37. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 37. Talking more and more about the real self, our inner man, our innermost being in the now the New Testament. Matthew 22, chapter 22, verse 37. And Jesus said to him being one of the lawyers who was tempting and questioning Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God. He asked him, what is the first and foremost commandment? Matthew 22, verse 37. And that was a real, it really showed the wisdom of the Lord Jesus, because I think I told you there are over 600 commands, I think, or laws that were there. And they asked, well, what's the top ones, you know? And then, of course, they're also looking at the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And they were like, what's the top one out of those? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. What are all of those? Inward. In other words, you're to love the Lord your God with your real self, with all of your innermost being, with all of your inner man, the real you. He says, heart, mind, soul. All of those are inner being stuff. Does that make sense?
Amen.
That sounds like the longer version of what the Lord God asked when he says, give me your heart. When he says that, that covers soul and mind. Is that a fair statement?
Amen.
Yeah. So in this case, God the Father in Proverbs 23, 26, and Jesus speaking in Matthew 22, they're in complete agreement. Give me your heart and love me with all your soul, mind, and heart. Look at Luke 11. Verse 39, Luke 11, verse 39. Luke chapter 11, verse 39. And that's one thing, Word of Life, you can't ever stop being who you really are. You can't stop being who you really are. In other words, who you really are is always who you're going to be. However, our external actions, our external behavior can vary, because externally we can act like who we are not, and we can act like who we really are. When we act, in other words, when our external does not match our internal, then we're acting like who we are with our bodies. So if we are saved,
and we're sanctified and we're set apart, but our lifestyle is matching our old way of living, then at that point, then we're not. You follow me? So who we really are doesn't change. But how we manifest who we are, that is what's the variable. Hope that didn't confuse you. Look at Luke 11, verse 39. But the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside of you, you are full of robbery and wickedness." So here's a case of the opposite, where the outside, which was looking good, did not match the inside, which was bad. Now the Apostle Paul was jumping on the church at Rome for doing the opposite. The outside was looking bad, but the inside was good. You follow me? Here, Jesus is showing them the other. In other words, here we are again. You can't get away from who you really are. Not from God. You can fool people. So he's saying here, you clean the outside, but inside you are full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? Like you're going to be able to fool God? Do you realize that God made your inside the real you?
Amen.
He's chastising them for thinking and maybe being content with fooling people.
Yeah.
Do you realize that a God is watching you? And this God who's seeing the real you made both your outward and your inward? Verse 41. But give that which is within as charity, and then all things are clean for you. Give that which is within. That's another command for us. Give me your heart. Love me with all your heart, mind. Give that which is within as charity, and then all things are clean for you. Let whatever you do be done with right motives, with good intention. God intention is even better. Biblical, scriptural motive with God intention. Under God's direction. And when you do that, it'll be within as charity. That's what you'll give. Look at John, the second chapter, in a few moments we have left. John, the Gospel of John, the second chapter, verse 23. This is akin to 1 Samuel 16:7. John chapter 2, verse 23. Remember Jesus, after having performed a miracle of turning the water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Verse 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs, which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. Well, what do you mean by that? Verse 25, and because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, because he himself knew what was what? In man. That sounds like God sees not, man sees not it as God sees, for man sees the outside, but God sees the heart. Same exact thing here. What Jesus was able to see and discern was the real person. That's why he could do things like answering the crowd or answering Simon, he said, and there was no question asked externally, but inwardly they had a question. And Jesus, knowing their heart, was able to ask the question that they had in their heart but had not yet verbalized. He knew what was in man. He knew the real self. He knows the real self. And as the question is asked, do you realize that the same God who made the outside made the inside? Romans chapter 7,
Romans chapter 7, verse 22. Romans 7, verse 22. Romans 7, verse 22. He says, For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. I agree with it. Where? In the real me. But I see a different law in the members of my body. See, that's the different law that was operating in the members of his body. In other words, the members of his body, the members of our body, that is what is used, if you will, to display our false self, right? It's done through our body. And so he says, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. So you have this war going on. You have the flesh trying to do the things that it wants to do, even though they are contrary to God. And the real self is in there fighting against this flesh, trying to keep it under control so that the members of the body, which is used to display either the good or the bad, will display that which is godly rather than which is fleshly. You follow me? So the war goes on the inside. Whoever wins, that's how the body's going to act. The body's going to respond to the winner. If flesh wins, then the body's going to do that which is bad, or ungodly, or unscriptural. If in that fight, your real you wins, then you're going to display the glory of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God. Does that make sense?
Amen.
But there's a war going on. Your real self is fighting against your flesh. Remember Apostle Paul said, in me, comma, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing? Says, it's not me, it's my flesh. But I'm responsible for my flesh. So there's this fight. There's this fight. And that flesh is so sneaky, and because our enemy is so tricky and evil and sneaky and tricky, evil and sneaky, we need the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to sift through, analyze, and judge our thoughts. Father God, we thank you that we're not left to our own devices to deal with us. Father, once sin hit, a whole lot of things got knocked out for us to be able to really see who we really are. And apart from you and your word, we can't see us. We're going to always see us in the best light. But in reality, that best light is no light at all. We thank you for your eyes. We thank you for your vision through your word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to sift through and analyze and judge and discern our thoughts and the intentions and conceptions of our mind. Help us to burn for you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.